Hello, welcome to the Mac Show. Yes, we're here. We're back. Sorry about last week. Everything just unraveled last weekend. Not to say that it didn't unravel this week as well, because the studio's been flooded. All of my outside office is now in my inside office. They took 30 litres of water out of my carpet in the outer office, and it was pretty bad. This is my, that's the office now. That's my daughter sat in the pile of mess that was here last night, helping me move stuff out so that the guy could come in with the water hose. This is Tony the Tank, who went out to the outer office and got in all, you can see the water at the side of the plasterboard there.
Wow.
30 litres of water out of each carpet. It was sodden in here. But I've got to say, Tony is awesome because I put some radiators on overnight and the carpet in there at the back is bone dry where it leaked in. So it's brilliant. Well done, mate. Thank you very much. Right. We're going to do a podcast. Finally, we're here. Joining me, the best bunch in the entire world. People that you couldn't get to come to your bar mitzvah, but they'll come to this podcast. Amazing. Top left, starting us off, it's Doc.
Morning.
Thank you for that sound effect, dude.
Wow.
Well, it's actually just a water, but I wanted it to sound like I was drinking a beer at 5 o'clock.
5 o'clock. Now, are you worried about the fact that the clocks go forward soon? Because I think you get further away from us, don't you? Or do you get closer?
Yeah. And I think when it happens, I will be in Portland anyway. But yeah, okay. My schedule is going to be unsyncopated starting from Monday.
Yeah.
That's what I love about Americans. I haven't got the word. I'll just make one up.
What I was making it up.
Unsyncopated
rhythm.
That's not a word. Unsyncopated. I know what syncopation is, but unsyncopated can't be a word.
It's the opposite of syncopating at this time in the morning on a Friday when I should still be asleep.
I don't think syncopating's a word. I think syncopated's the word.
Shut up. Move on.
Shut up.
Next to him, it's Adam. How you doing, bud?
I'm doing all right. How you doing?
Yeah, not bad. Has it been a good week in California?
It's been nice, yeah. We haven't had to deal with too much of what you're dealing with, for sure.
No snow. No flooding.
Nope. Just trying to figure out the technology issues this morning. I don't know what's going on. Seem to have plenty of bandwidth that Mac look like crud and sound like crud.
Yeah. It's all right. It doesn't sound too bad. It's not. It's just a bit jumpy on the thing. But there's a bit of jumpiness in dock as well and a bit of grainy stuff, so maybe it's my pipe. It's the that's causing the problem. It could be me. Beneath him, it's Don McAllister. Don is back. How the devil are you, old boy?
I'm very well, thank you. How are you?
I'm good.
Sorry, it's been so long. Been a while.
It's my fault. I haven't invited you, have you? So you can't.
Well, I know. Well, I've done a bit of traveling and it's been busy and the usual tale. So no, it's always good to come back.
Excellent. Have you had a move around in the office or are you?
Sort of. I'm using the iMac Pro camera rather than setting up a separate camera for today. So, it's a slightly different angle, sort of looking sort of behind me rather than sort of across from the side.
Are you enjoying Discord?
Humble brag.
Are you enjoying Discord?
I'm enjoying what, sorry?
Are you enjoying the Discord app? Are you enjoying Discord app? No, because we haven't managed to sync our own voices there. Christ.
Mate. It sounded like Discworld.
Oh, mate. Trying to get us to clap, and we couldn't even talk at the same time there. Trying to get us to clap in time was bloody impossible. Are you enjoying Discord app?
Oh, Discord app. Yeah. I've never heard of it before, but it works really, really well.
Apart from the syncopation episodes.
Yeah, but no, the video quality is good and the sounds brilliant.
Excellent. Next to him, James. In our man in South Africa. You're on your own, mate. The wife's gone.
Yes. I think I'm here for the long haul. I think I've got 4 weeks on my own, I think, which is quite good because I'm trying to do lots of recording, which means the house is super quiet apart from my two lovely dogs, which are sitting here next to me waiting to make a noise.
You got four weeks on your own?
Sorry?
You got 4 weeks on your own?
I think it's going to be about 4 weeks. She's not booked a flight back, which I should be worried, shouldn't I? Really? Her and her son have disappeared.
I've got something to tell you.
And I said, hang on a minute, you've not booked a flight back. She said, no. I said, well, let me know if you are leaving me properly. But no, otherwise, it's 17 degrees here today.
So British. That's so British. Well, I would appreciate if you would give me a memorandum if you are leaving me officially.
Could you copy on my mats?
That would be superb. I think that would only be polite, wouldn't it? Anyway, Kappa.
Time for tea.
Let's do a cup of tea.
Anyway, 17 degrees. No rain, no snow. It's all lovely. All right.
And last but by no means least, a man who hasn't seen water since he got out there. Patrice is in Arizona, the driest place in the world.
That is absolutely true. Yeah, it's quite dry here. It actually rained one day last 2 weeks. So, and people couldn't handle it here. So that was fun.
It rained.
Yeah, they don't know how to handle that. I mean, water coming from flash floods. Sky, it's just
yeah, you'll get flash floods out there. It won't be good.
No.
Yeah, unfortunately, or fortunately, fortunately, no flash floods this time. It was just a light rain. I mean, that's probably the average British summer rain.
Cool.
So not too heavy.
Have you managed to meet up with Carrie Holtzman yet?
No, I have to message him, but I'll be here longer term, so.
Excellent.
Yeah, I'll get to it. Also, I have to meet Melissa McMummy.
Oh, yeah, definitely. She's out that way, of course, yeah.
He's been there long enough. I feel like I should drive out.
Yeah, you should. And you know the weird thing is?
How many hours is that then?
Let me know.
Are you? What part of Arizona are you in? Phoenix? Phoenix. Near Phoenix? Tucson?
Phoenix downtown.
Yeah, Phoenix is maybe 5 hours.
That's not too bad.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I mean, that would be me driving to Scotland, so.
Yeah. I wouldn't want to do that. I hate driving.
That's the silliest thing there, right? So this is the difference of British thinking and American thinking.
Yeah.
He says...
He's German. Hold up.
No, he said... No, so Patrice says he's in Arizona. And Adam says, oh, maybe I should drive out and see you then. And he says, where are you in Arizona? And I'm sitting thinking, well, it doesn't matter. It's only the same state, for Christ's sake. And then, of course, probably there's about a 5-hour difference between one side of the state and the other side of the state.
Right. That's short. 5 hours is nothing. I mean, it's 2 hours up to L.A., and I go up there to see people all the time when they come into L.A. So yeah. It's really not
L.A. to San Fran is about five, 6 hours, depending on how fast you drive.
Yeah, that is crazy.
See, 5 hours. I don't mind driving.
If I'm really smart about it, I can probably find a flight for $50. And it's probably better to fly.
But I don't like Patrice that much.
I'd spend $100 to come out and see Patrice.
There you go.
Wow. Return trip. if you're here for Crucified Classics, Greeny has got delayed. Picking up the kids from school, so he is probably not going to make it in time to play a classic this week, but he's got an absolute belter which he's going to play next week for you instead. Don't worry, stick around, it will happen. The week in Apple, what's gone on, what's been happening, and the first story that I've come up with, I found quite, because I don't want to know what it is. Apple has a top spot as the most intimate brand for millennials. And I'm just sitting thinking.
Is that because people sleep with their iPhones?
Oh, I don't. Well, that's what I mean. I don't understand what the. It's like, yeah, we're most intimate brand. And someone goes, what does that mean? I don't know, but we are.
It means that you know the most about them from a standpoint. You know, like when we were growing up as kids or whatever, right? There may be something that you're really, really into. Like for me, it would have probably been at that time Nikes and maybe like Techniques turntables. But I knew what they were. I wore them. I wouldn't know at the time CEO other than BR and like, you know, what their stock value was or if they were going to go public or, you know, I wouldn't know anything about them other than the fact that I love the kit that I own from them. I think nowadays people build different relationships, you know, to the point of quote unquote fandom that I'm sure that's what they meant by it.
Right.
Yeah, that makes sense.
I'm going to say that's closer than anything I could get at the top of my head because I'm sitting thinking there's got to be some sex toy makers are going to take issue with this because, you know, that's pretty intimate. But that does make a lot of sense. So the answer is as well that there are other brands. The second one is Amazon, then YouTube, then PlayStation, and this is the one, Starbucks. I don't see how you get more intimate with Starbucks than you do with Nintendo. Unless that's a volume thing, or Google for that matter. Netflix, Coca-Cola, and Walmart.
May explain why Apple has an obsession with removing ports from their devices.
Oh, I feel like a teenager all over again.
That's kind of funny, but I think...
But I'm going to be serious. Go on then.
Kind of funny. Yeah.
Go on, Doc.
Well, I think one thing that's different, too, is like, we would get these really, really mass, like, changes because we were in the middle of a, you know, just a crazy kind of revolution type thing. Well, all with the exception of Patrice. So, like, we basically saw black and white TV convert to color. And then, yeah, nothing big really happened for a minute. And then we saw the cassette, you know, go from reel to a cassette and that to a CD. And we were so enthralled with our CDs. Actually, I think maybe for us, Tower Records would have been on there because that was a destination style spot. Like, that was date night for a lot of people. You know, you couldn't wait for school to get out to go hang out at Tower Records and to that listening stations and listening to all the jams. And for me, it was really odd at the time. I was really into UK punk, and that wasn't, you know, it wasn't a normal genre here. So the people that were into it, we all had to go kick it at Towers and go, you know, find some like Sid and Nancy or something to listen to. So I think that it's also a matter of our like grand innovations were so few and far between, but for these guys, they grow up with it to a point, and then plus everyone's sharing it, you know, so I think their relationships with their brands are so different from the way we handled it, you know. It's kind of it's kind of odd because we're mirroring them to a certain extent. Shit, we're sitting here doing a podcast every week about a brand, and then yet we laugh at the intimacy of the brand. We're probably more intimate than half the millennials that took this test.
Point taken. I will gladly laugh at myself later on. The questions or the categories included frequency of use, logical, and also can't live without category.
Oh,
so here we go. Well, no, it is what really bothers me. Can't live without number five, Starbucks.
Can.
Yeah. Well, no, okay. The category was can't live without. This is, and Starbucks came fourth.
Okay, yeah. Here's the thing. How I don't know how it is over there, but let me give you an example of the Starbucks problem here in the U.S. So there's a Starbucks probably less. Well, I know I've walked it. It's a mile that way, or that way, and on the same road, there's another one at the grocery store that's less than a mile the other way. And then about a mile down from that one, there is another Starbucks down this other street. They literally just this week opened up a fourth Starbucks on the same road between the one that is a mile that way and the one that is a half a mile that way. So I have three now that are within a mile of me. That, 1 mile.
Americans must have a problem.
Adam, because Patrice can tell you from my house, there's one about 300 meters, and there's another one about 300 meters after that, and then another one about 300 meters after that, where it's even more close. I'm probably sitting next. I'm at six Starbucks and less than a half a mile from me.
I think we have like three or four around.
You just need to know there's got to be a density index, a Starbucks density index. And it's like, you know, you only get city status if you've got a density index of less than 300 yards. Otherwise, you're not classed as a city.
It's idiocracy. I mean, like they're all full. I mean, that's the thing is they're not. So I believe that study because you go into any one of them and there's, you know, a dozen people in there at least.
Hang on.
They're not big spaces.
I got Abraham Maslow on the phone. He says food, air, water, shelter. No, no. I suppose for Starbucks is water in it. So there you go.
I mean, to be honest, as far as I know, that's Starbucks' strategy, though. They want to be on every corner. They want to be as close as possible to where people live, where people work, so that it's very, very convenient to drop in, basically. You're basically walking past it, and, I mean, well, why not go in and get a coffee? I think that's their strategy.
You know, what's funny about that, too, though, is, again, millennials, they're so dramatic. I can't live without it. Yes, you could live without it, but to them, they couldn't. You know, like, if you ask the average millennial, hey, I want to clip your internet, like, they, oh, my God, what am I going to do? I don't know, read a book, go outside, make some actual, sorry, bad words, friends. You know, so I think that's part of it.
I know one. So,
you where'd you get your list? Because my list says Disney, YouTube, Target, Amazon, Nintendo, Google, Xbox, Netflix, Whole Foods.
Well, I don't look at the pictures, Doc. I read the text.
Oh, well, why the hell would they make a picture not match the text? I was just asking. Was and the text isn't that long from what I'm
looking at. To catch you out, mate. Bob Beach just put in the, I'm going to get you Janet and John Book 5 for Christmas. Bob Beach has put in the Slack room, the French appreciate good coffee. I'm guessing that's into remark about why are there no Starbucks in France.
Well, there is a one, you know, obviously I worked in Birmingham for 10 years, and you're absolutely right. You watch commuters get off the train and they all make the beeline for either Costa or Starbucks. And I actually got caught up in that whole kind of, you know, yet pulled along with the traffic of people. And I actually started doing that. I started going on and suddenly I thought, I don't even like the coffee that much. I'm going because my friends are going, or it's just a thing that you do when you get off the train. I started going to Leon's, and Leon's is a really great sort of not independent. It's got bigger than that, and it's a chain now. But Leon's make amazing coffee, and I started going there. But since I've been in France for over 14 months now, I've not been to one at all. And I think that's part of the culture that you live in, isn't it? You know, you get dragged along the whole thing.
Yeah,
it is kind of true, because in the place that I was talking about right across from here, there's probably about 6 coffee shops in that little thing, and Arvo and Nine Bar and the other one is Morning Glass. There's Insomnia, but they're all in this same little spot. And what's kind of funny, all of them make really good, like, hipster level Portland style pour overs and great, you know, farm raised beans. Hawaii grows a lot of coffee. Coffee is part of our state, so that's maybe why we have so many Starbucks. We actually have several brands of coffee that are world-renowned, like Kona Coffee. Kona Coffee is one of the most expensive coffees you can buy, besides the one that comes out of the Trivet's butt, or Trivet, however you Trivet, whatever you call it. But it's funny that with those epic spots, Starbucks is the most crowded still. Right, Patrice?
I reckon. Yeah.
Yes, sorry. Man, that thing is slow.
It's jumping
like McDonald's. You know, it's the thing is, part of it is people know, you know, when you walk into Starbucks, what you're going to get. Like, if you've had it before, you know what to expect. And then there's a lot of people that really like that comfort level, right? It's like, it's not great. It's not the best thing out there, but you know exactly what they're going to have and what you're going to get. And they're going to have what you want, and you don't have to think about it.
That's their motto, isn't it? Shit coffee, but you know what you're going to get.
Well, yeah, why do people go to McDonald's? You know, like, I know people that travel and they'll be in a country and they don't really know what to eat. And it's like, oh, there's a McDonald's. At least I know what that is, and I recognize it, and I don't have to worry that my kids are going to complain, you know, and there's a convenience factor too that factors into it, right? There's a comfort level that people have with something like that that helps it be more successful.
I reckon what's happened is, back at Starbucks HQ, they've got someone who said, right, we need to do a critical analysis of when we need to add staff. So they've done this thing about when there's more than 3 people waiting, put an extra cashier on. Yeah. And they've got a graph up there, and someone's changed the top of it that says, when there's more than 3 people waiting, add a Starbucks.
And somehow we've just become Coffee Dog.
It's just,
that's mental.
It's just someone's changed it at headquarters, and someone thinks it's policy now. So they just build a new Starbucks every time more than 3 people are in the queue.
Exactly.
Well,
I think there probably is actually a bit of truth in that. That the fact is that people go past your coffee shop if the queues are too long. So you just have more coffee shops. That way the queues can stay down. Yeah. Apple Siri co-founder suggests Apple is looking for a level of perfection with Siri that they cannot achieve. I'm sorry, I spat toast on my computer this morning when I read that.
Do drink some really horrible Starbucks. They're looking for
Doc, the audio shit on this, but it's not that bad. We've moved on. We're on a different story now.
That's what I said, dude. I said that dude is high because he's basically talking down the side of his ASS. Because they're looking for perfection. They damn sure didn't find it. They're blinder than all of us, and they should call Hoya.
Oh, there's a great link for the advertiser. There you go. If you can find perfection, call Hoya. It's a bit of a needle of a hat, because if you look at the systems that we would describe as good, they're still not perfection, not by a long stretch. And Siri's a little further away than they are in a lot of cases. So I think, here's the thought process. Is Siri as bad as it is because Apple are trying to make it too good rather than making it good at the things that it can be good at? That's a good point.
You know what's kind of trips me out is right now I have everything in my house because I was recently given a Google Home out of frustration from my friend who bought it. He's like, man, I can't figure this thing out. So he gave it to me. I'm like, cool. So now I have all of them in the house. There's Cortana, there's Alexa, there's Siri, and then now there's Google. And the one thing that Google does really well, which surprises me that Apple doesn't do, considering they're so about the ecosystem and so about iTunes, the ability to ask Siri for a song the way people ask me, a DJ, a song, that I kind of feel just as dumb as Siri sometimes when people say, hey, you know that one that goes, and I'm like, what the heck are you talking about?
Yeah.
But you can do that to Google and it will play it. And it's good. Like, you can give her, you know, a thing like, can you give me that song that's about sitting on the dock by the bay? And then, oh, yeah, let me play Sitting by the Dock of the Bay. What is ready on YouTube? And it'll play it. But Apple has that library that they brag about and this great musical ecosystem they brag about. If you said that to Siri, she'd say, huh? So,
I have a theory on that, and I wish I could give credit to the person who wrote the piece. But when I read it, I was like, okay, this kind of makes sense. And I talked a little bit about it on my podcast. I think Apple continues, at least on the music side of things, in a lot of ways, to suffer from the legacy of iTunes. 'Cause you have to remember, Apple built their entire meta database around music, you know, decades ago. And I think part of the problem with music going into Siri now is a lot of the metadata is just a giant mess. And I think they have to deal with part of that. So it's great you have a learning AI, but if the data going in is junk, then it doesn't work very well. And the counter example to this is what they did with photos and the cloud stuff, where they built an entire engine and they've spent a lot of time and engineering talent to build image analysis stuff so that when your stuff goes into photos now, right, it gets analyzed and you can automatically search and categorize things based on what's in those images. And they need to take a team and do something similar for all the music that they have. The specific example that this person gave was how they categorize how they do album categories. Because basically anything that is a quote unquote album, whether it's an EP or a special release or a remaster, or they're all called album. And so a lot of times when you go to ask Siri for an album or a track from a specific album, she just gets totally confused because, you know, that track's on 27 albums from the same, you know, I'm exaggerating, but, you know, 3, 4, 5, 6 albums from the same artist. And you're like, no, I want the original, you know, the thing that most people, like you're saying, Doc, would call an album. You know, by the same token, most people would, you know, they can remember lyrics or they can remember some other thing. So I think it suffers from a little bit from the data going in. And I think that's where Apple needs to address that problem.
I think the point that you made a couple of weeks ago was a really great one, though, about why, when I've asked for a track, does it play the one from High School Musical rather than playing me the original recording that the band did? Because if I'm asking for a track, that's got to be your point one. And then you go, no, I want the one from High School Musical. And then Siri, right. Oh, okay, sorry, here's the crap one that you want. And it doesn't do that. And that is an issue. But it's playing it based on popularity, I suppose.
I think it's metadata. I really think it's just the metadata going in is so jumbled, and they need to spend some time building an engine to retrain that with the modern thought of how we listen to music. Because, you know, back 10, 20 years ago, we managed and did music very differently than you do now. We didn't have streaming. We didn't have, you know, most people only want to listen to tracks or playlists. And I think the data going in just isn't wrapped up like that. You know, again, it's once again, Apple suffering from the legacy of iTunes. iTunes needs to be completely blown up and redone. And I think they just haven't, they've been putting it off. And it's now coming to fruition, especially now that they have the HomePod out there. They definitely need to be doing it. I think they've done some improvements with HomePod, but I think they still have a long way to go.
So for instance, there's a great software that we DJs all kind of switched to called Beatport. Another one is called Rekordbox. Rekordbox is Pioneer. Beatport, I believe, is Sony or somebody like that. And one of the things that it does is the modern vernacular for finding songs is more by mood than genre, because people's, thanks to iTunes, I would probably say, people's listening habits are a little bit more eclectic than they used to be. So the genres now have genres in them. So in a prime example, we used to have just house, right? Now we have house, we have hardcore, hard techno, UK garage, two-step, now what they call EDM and future bass, dubstep kind of evolved into drum and bass. And those are all evolutions of the original UK garage sound. So now there's genres inside the genres, and iTunes doesn't understand that yet. So I kind of have to label everything as hip hop or rap. I'm surprised that they even know that those are two separate things, but it doesn't really work for the way we have this live. So like, I'm probably sitting on over a terabyte in just remixes alone, right? So the new style software, even if you go to find music for say one of Ewan's productions or whatever, when you roll into a place where you would buy audio like Pond5 or Audio Jungle or even YouTube Creator, you look under moods rather than genres per se.
Yeah.
And then the genre is a second title. So I need cinematic, thematic, dramatic, uplifting, happy, sad, melancholy. Like, that's what you're looking for. So I haven't tried it because before it used to be such a mess, but I don't know if I said, hey, you know, Siri, play me some chill music, that it would know what the heck I'm talking about. Whereas Google and Spotify, because they use Spotify and YouTube, it uses that mood-based thing. There's a great
Echoes app called really.
Mixed in Key. Mixed in Key is really, really good at that. It's a Macintosh app that really helps you re-tag your iTunes library so you could get better performance. And yeah, I think possibly their genres, like you said, are from the original setup, Gracenote. And Gracenote's kind of been passed over by much better musical genome projects.
And it was
Siri does understand moods. I think it's not deep enough yet, but you can definitely, because I use it all the time now with the HomePod, you know, give me some mellow this, or give me some upbeat that, or give me, you know, some exciting, you know, whatever.
Patrice, on you talking.
Yeah, I was just saying, I mean, to what Doc said, it was fine back in the day where, I mean, we would download songs and we maybe had a couple of hundred, maybe a couple of thousand songs in our libraries. In that case, it was not a big issue that the metadata wasn't as good as it could have been. But nowadays, I mean, with Apple Music, you have access to I don't know how many gazillion songs. And that, I mean, clearly isn't working.
Don, did you buy a HomePod?
Yeah, I did, but I was just going to say that the thing that I didn't realize until not too long ago is that although we talk about Siri as a unified system, it's actually multiple different engines all sort of working differently on different platforms. And I don't know if that's some of the cause of the problems because, you know, the development emphasis is spread out across platforms. someone did a great piece. I can't remember who it was, but they did an article whereby they sat down and asked the same question to Siri on all the different devices, the iPhone, the iPad, the Apple Watch, the Apple TV, etc. And even asking the same question, they actually got different responses back from Siri, which I think, you think if you ask a question to Siri on one device, you get the same answer from another. But because they're all different platforms, right, and the different engines, the actual, even though the answer was correct, each device read it back in a different format. And I'm thinking, that surely can't be very efficient to do that. You know, you would think that Siri would be a single engine and they put all the development resources into, you know, developing a single engine. But it's not. It's actually diluted. I did get a HomePod. I must admit, the HomePod is the device that I've used Siri the most on, because I've sort of pretty much given up on the iPhone and the iPad. I don't use the Apple TV that much, although I have used Siri on the Apple TV, and it seems to work okay. But the HomePod, yeah, it's okay. You know, but again, I tend just to restrict it just to music queries and the news, basically. And I think if you get into the sort of hang of asking it in a certain way, it works better than just asking sort of off the cuff. I mean, it's not intelligent enough just to handle natural speech, but you know, it tends to work pretty much, well, 8 times out of 10 when I actually ask it for something.
It's got better. I mean, I'm a big complainer about Siri, and justifiably in the way that it reacts to me, and that's just all I care about. But I have to say, in the last 6 weeks, it's got it's got better. Definitely a lot better than it was. I don't get cinemas near me quite as often as I used to.
Ewan, have you managed to get to an Apple store to hear a HomePod yet? I'm still waiting for your critique.
No, I haven't heard it yet, not at all. And I don't doubt it's going to sound great. My problem with the AirPod has always, the HomePod has always been about the bang for buck with it. Is it that much better than a Series 3 Sonos or a Series 1 Sonos?
I have a question for Don about that study he mentioned where the person was testing, asking the same question of different Siri devices. Did it feel like that was just because really it was separate engines, or do you think in a way it's trying to impart a little more personality on Siri, being that, you know, you might ask people the same question and they give slightly different answers?
Yeah, I don't know if you mean it's something that's being done by design, and it might actually be just a single engine, but they just try to personalize it based on the, I don't know. I did get the feeling that it was interpreting the results the same way, but I don't know. It's hard to say. And of course, we don't really know the ins and outs of Siri, and they still haven't opened it up to developers as of yet. But I got the feeling that it wasn't a common engine. It did feel as though, or it did sound as though, you know, it was different code bases doing different things.
Yeah, I've kind of heard the same thing, you know, that they've sort of got tweaked versions for different devices. Mm. And it's that the philosophy behind that is very similar to why, you know, Mac OS and iOS are slightly different, and, you know, they have similarities, but they have differences.
I mean, you could look at it the other way as well and say, well, the reason they've split it into different engines or is so they can be more specific and hone down the, you know, the intelligence of Siri on different devices, because it might be being asked different queries and different questions. So it's, rather than having a single engine, it is more sensible to have multiple engines or optimize for the tasks in hand. But
harder to manage, though, I would imagine, from an engineering standpoint.
Yeah.
Oh, yes, definitely.
So Dom, just a quick question. Would you buy a second HomePod to get sort of the stereo pair when that becomes available?
I would love to, because I do think that when you combine them as a stereo pair, a proper stereo pair, I know you can sort of put two together now as using Rogue Amoeba's software and stuff to drive them. But, you know, once they do bring out the HomePod with the multi-room and also the stereo pair, I think with the bass response on it especially, I think it should sound pretty, pretty good. I mean, I've got lots of Sonos stuff anyway, and I have compared it to the Sonos. And you know, it's a very good sounding speaker for the money. It can't beat a full blown Sonos system, obviously, but I would be really interested to see how a stereo pair would actually behave. I think that'd be pretty damn good.
So would you say it's equal to the 3 or equal to the 5?
It's different. It's different because the it's just a different sound. It's a more rounded response. And it's more because it's omnidirectional, it just sounds different in the room. I prefer the sound of the HomePod, I have to say, to pretty much any of the Sonos speakers, except for when I've got a pair of Play Ones with the Sonos sub, and that just sounds fantastic. And of course, there's no way a single speaker is ever going to
be able to
compare with that. Yeah, but I've sort of had them all out separately, and I've tried them, and I've noticed that it's a more rounded sound, but it's different when you walk around the room, because the HomePod does seem to spread the sound out more because it's omnidirectional, whereas most of the others are, you know, unidirectional.
Yes, it's not better. It's just different.
It's different. It is different. But
I never had you down as a fence sitter.
It's very good. It's very good. I mean, I put the HomePod on my desk. I've got a pair of studio monitor speakers here and a sub under my desk. And I thought on the desk it sounded better than the setup I had.
Oh, because it makes my ass twitch. I've got a woofer under the desk because it makes my bum twitch when it goes off.
Turn it down a little bit more.
James has asked that question, by the way, because he asked it originally in the bloody Slack room, in the chat room. And it's just like, have you grasped podcasting, Rickards?
Well, I wasn't sure they changed subjects, because you changed subjects pretty quickly. I just thought, well, I'll drop it in there. And if he sees it, he can read it out.
For those of you that are harder hearing, James asked that in the bloody chat room, not in the podcast. Sorry. California introduces the right to repair bill. In line with other US states, they are saying that you can get your shiz repaired wherever you should so desire. You should get your appliances fixed by a repair shop or service provider of your choice, a practice that was taken for granted a generation ago, but is now becoming increasingly rare in the world of planned obsolescence.
Yep.
I think this is quite significant for Apple, isn't it? Because, I mean, they're into the repair ideals heavily now. The just replace it bit has gone entirely. Is this, because the Americans would probably know more about this ideal than us, because we don't have a right. We have a right for the person in the shop to force a repair upon you rather than a replacement, but you don't have a right necessarily in the UK. If you're, so my iPhone can be repaired by Darren Griffin, the Max Fixer, that's fine. But whether he can do the 10 or not, I don't know. And whether he could do certain types of repairs over others, I don't know. But I wouldn't have said it was a wild west over here. Is it restricted in the States? Is this law needed?
No. Yeah. So what's going on is you can have anybody. I mean, there's no restrictions on who can repair your device. The problem is with especially companies like Apple, they don't make service manuals or information available to repair companies.
Right.
So like a company like iFixit has to go in. The reason they do their teardowns is they're trying to reverse engineer and figure out, okay, how do we get this thing open? And the other thing is there's no requirement for companies to sell you OEM parts. So right. A lot of these guys just have to rely on trying to find compatible or quote unquote OEM parts in places out of China, but they're not legitimate Apple blessed parts. And so what this legislation is trying to do is say, okay, companies have to make repair manuals available to other third party repair companies, and they also have to provide replacement parts. And I'm all for the manual thing. The replacement part piece of it, I think, is a little bit more concerning, because if you're starting to mandate that companies have to, you know, make parts available, then do they have to make them available? You know, the legislation starts to become really complicated, right? But you really can't have one without the other. So I understand the thought process behind it, but you know, the implementation sort of becomes a little bit tricky. And you know, if they are forced to make parts available and they make them very expensive, then consumers are still going to get the costs passed on to them, even at a third party repair shop. So I think they have a ways to go to kind of figure out the legislation, but I'm all for, you know, I think you should be able to get your stuff repaired by whoever you want to get it repaired by. I think ultimately it's a good thing. And I have to look into the legislation further to figure out, because there's always nuances, right? But on the surface of it, to me, it seems like a good idea.
But the story suggests that there's already states that have got this bill.
Yeah, there's lots with the bill in place, but I don't know that any state has passed a law yet.
Because it's on the books here in Hawaii, and it's really was our government here, especially, and I would say probably nationwide, has a tendency to take these knee-jerk reactions from this quote-unquote standpoint of fairness, which on the surface sounds right. Some things just aren't meant to be fair, you know, and other things are. So I agree with Adam. Like it sounds great on paper, but sometimes in the order of trying to win a case, they don't think away all of the sides through really well. So right now you're highly unlikely to get a battery replaced with a part that hasn't been that well vetted. So that way you end up having a Samsung Toastmaker, you know, in the middle of an airplane somewhere. Or right now the shady outfits are limited. They do exist, but they're limited. Like in China proper, there's an Apple store with the backwards Apple, and there's these smart for repair centers like all over the place, like they equal Starbucks in the US. And they've had guys go, you know, I have friends that have taken their stuff and they get fixed and it comes back and it works for like 2 days and it cuts off because what they really had in there was a like all these fake parts, and you know, it's not even a real operating system. Like it's a complete fake knockoff of the operating system. So they think that they're helping us out in the pocket, but what we might end up with is shady practices. You know,
that's what this legislation is supposed to avoid, right? Because it's saying the companies have to make the parts available. They have to make the manuals available. So you know you're getting genuine parts. Right now the problem is the repairs are going on anyway, and like your example there, Doc, these guys can't even get legit parts if they want them, so they're just chucking in whatever they can get, and who knows where that came from. So
the number one thing for this, I believe, had to do with the we see it all the time at the store, and I'm sure James can back me up on this. You get the people that come in and they have a deprecated part, and they're really, really pissed off that we can't fix it. And they're like, what do you mean it's on an obsolete list? I'm like, well, everything for us that passes between 5 and 7 years old, depending on the part, on its fifth birthday, it becomes obsolete. We no longer can get parts for that. They no longer produce parts for that. And they're like, oh, well, I'm really, really trying to fix this Mac. I've had it for like 8 years. And like, computers aren't designed for that, ding dong. But those are the guys that complain the most. So I also believe this concept of planned obsolescence is a little crazy and almost conspiracy theorist. Like, that'd be really, really hard to coordinate a planned obsolescence. I'm sorry. It just doesn't make any sense. I don't believe that's an actual thing.
But I mean, what is a thing in other, at least in other parts of the industry, is that you make it, I mean, intentionally hard for anybody else to repair it. And even Apple has done that, I would say, to a certain degree with, I mean, custom screws and so on. Not that it would stop anybody, but they've tried to. And I mean, if you look at the, I mean, the inkjet printer business, for example, they have intentionally tried to make sure that nobody else can produce cartridges for printers. And stuff like that, I think this, hopefully at least, this law would prevent.
Right.
I would think... The thing that interests me is the whether or not a manufacturer needs to make a product repairable, and whether or not this legislation has any bearing on that. You know, you must come to a point as we're making these more complex and smaller devices with, you know, this fantastically huge compact density of components, custom components, etc. You know, will we get to the point whereby it's not cost effective for Apple, say, just out of, you know, as an example, to actually make a phone that is repairable, because they could actually manufacture a phone in such a way that, you know, it's cheaper to manufacture just by building this custom module that is unrepairable, and to assemble it in a way, you know, they don't necessarily need to use screws. They might find, you know, it's super efficient from a production point of view to actually just glue everything together into a solid mass that is completely unrepairable, but is more cost effective to manufacture, and possibly more cost effective just to, you know, chuck it away rather than try and repair it at the end of it.
Mm.
That whole area is a bit grey for me, really.
I think generally speaking, if you get legislation like this, it's intended to go to manufacturers who are less diligent than Apple are about offering repairs at reasonable prices or in reasonable terms. But I think it has a significant implication for Apple in the basis of the fact that they do, although they're a very secretive company and they also are very dissuasive of people changing their own devices or letting third parties access devices with the Era 53 stuff that they did with the home button and that kind of stuff with the iPhone. It's not done for a nefarious purpose in the sense of bending people over as their customers. It does affect them though heavily. It's not a nefarious measure, but it will affect them massively.
Well, part of the problem for Apple, and even more so now that they have so many stores and Genius Bars and things like that, is if, you know, somebody takes a device and gets a third party to repair it and they screw it up, you know, that person is back in the Apple store saying, my thing is broken, you need to fix it. You know what I mean? And so you do start to get into that scenario too, where it's like, well, who's responsible when the job isn't done right? And, you know, and again, there's a chicken and an egg thing that happens here, because repair shops will argue, well, they hadn't made the manuals and the parts available, so we couldn't do it right, or we did the best that we could, you know, so you start getting this round and round thing. It's definitely, you know, on the surface, a lot of times these things seem straightforward, right? It's like, we'll just let people repair stuff where they want to repair it and make the parts available. But when you start digging into the nuances of what that means, you know, beginning to end, it gets much murkier.
I think if you look at car manufacturers, you know, I could take my Peugeot 3008 to anybody to be repaired. But it's that thing is, when you take it back to a main dealer, they actually plug it in and say, oh, you've not had the latest update, let's just do that for you now. Oh, by the way, we know there's something wrong with this part of the engine, we'll do that for you as you're now in.
But that has changed in the automotive industry, though. That has changed. So if I get my car serviced, I get it done with two guys that I know who own their own garage, and it comes back and they plug in diagnostics, etc., because the industry has had to allow other people to see what's going on in the car. The old proprietary connection and you can't, you know, we won't tell you what's wrong with it, doesn't apply as much anymore, for the same reasons as this is put in place. My guys can reset my
trip. Do you guys have OSBD?
Have a what?
Do you guys have OSBD? No. US cars, there's a socket on the left leg, and it's universal. Oh, you have that? Okay.
Yeah. So that's what I'm saying. The process of going to the manufacturer now isn't different from going to anyone else who's got a system that can identify fault through the electronic management system. So,
right.
But there is that case, though. You know, you can take your car to the guy down the road who's got kind of a garage, if you like, and he's going to have a go at repairing it. But there's something about
hang on, because I'm getting two guys called Daz and Dave who fix my stuff. They've done it for years. They used to do my old Merc, they do tyres and exhausts and that kind of stuff. And they do a very diligent job. The grade of oil that they put in is superb. The filters that they buy are top quality filters. And they're not Toyota's own filters, which are actually of a shittier standard than the filters that they buy.
I'm not thinking, but
I don't want that to sound like, you know, the people that, because of the fact that you've got a universal connector and you can plug into the engine management system, it doesn't necessarily mean that the repairer you're getting is less diligent than the manufacturer. I feel like Daz and Dave give me a far better service, and I feel my car is far healthier than it would be if I took it to Toyota.
Right. And so that's an industry that has had that kind of thing for a long time. So again, with this legislation and stuff like that, there's going to be a transition. If this goes through and this starts to happen, there's going to be a massive transition period. And during that period, I have no doubt problem for Apple, because again, people aren't, you're used to, you take it to Apple, Apple's going to make sure the repair is done right. They're going to make sure it's done with their parts. They're going to run it through their testing systems that only they have. So all of that stuff has to get opened back up and made available. And it's going to take years before you have, you know, a shop down the road that is as good or better than what Apple can do right now. We just don't have that right now. And you know, there are good places like iFixit does a really good job. There's, you know, there's a few repair shops that I feel if you have an Apple product that you can take them to, but that's definitely not the ecosystem we have now. And certainly it's going to take some time, you know, but I totally agree with you. You and I have an awesome mechanic that's worked on all my cars for years, and I trust him wholly with everything. I'd never take it back to to the dealer. But yeah. You know, I have an older car and that culture exists, you know, people are used to doing that. And with electronics right now, it's just really, especially Apple products, it's just not that way.
Well, I'm not so sure about that. I mean, there is a way for almost anybody who wants to open up a repair shop for Apple products to do that. There is the Apple authorized, authorized something repair center.
Yes, you can become an Apple authorized service provider.
Oh yeah, exactly, service provider was it?
Yeah. Have you ever talked to any of those people about how that works for them?
I know someone. I mean, Jerry, for example,
is a giant mess of red tape and rules and restrictions and a giant pain in the butt for those people.
I'm not saying it's perfect. I'm just saying it exists.
There's a pattern. You wouldn't want to be in that business.
We're all going to agree.
It's not even a fun business to be in.
We're all going to agree, Patrice, that there is a path to take. However, it's not all crumbs of chocolate up to a gingerbread house.
Yep. Absolutely.
You know what I learned the most out of this? I really had you and Peg for like a Vauxhall IGS or a Cross Lynx, you know, some kind of saloon. He has a Toyota. He just looks like a Vauxhall.
And before that, I had a van. And before that, I had a Mercedes, which to this day, E240, which I put 255,000 miles on that car. I adored it. And I hit the back of a Vauxhall Sirocco with it, and the company, the what's it, wrote it off. It's hardly damaged. They wrote it off. I loved that car.
The people at Luton are forever mad at you.
Bob Beach says, Chaz and Dave. No, Daz and Dave.
They're missing out on a marketing trick there.
Yeah, yeah. Do you know what Apple released this week? 29 years ago.
Oh.
What did Apple release this week 29 years ago?
What is this month? This month is
March. This week. It was the 7th of March 29 years ago. On Wednesday.
The Newton.
No, this is what I'm fairly well up on Apple products, I have to say. I feel like I do understand the history. The 29 years ago. I never even knew this product existed. A vertical display.
Oh yeah, yeah. Portrait display.
I never knew that product existed. That's one of few products. Well, here's a list of all the products I didn't know Apple made. But there you go, that's the end of the list.
I still have it. I have a radius version of that display.
I have a radius version of that too.
If anyone's got one of those and it works and they it's just taking up loft space and they'd like to donate it to the BTN Mac collection, I would love to have one. Thank you so much, because I didn't even know that product existed before this morning.
Wow.
Yeah.
And there it is. It's 29 years and 2 days old.
You know, Adam, I think that's where radius got their name from, right? You can go from 90 degrees to 0 degrees, and it was all about page white displays back then too, you know, because we were all into desktop publishing. I mean, that's how I really anchored my Mac geekness, with desktop publishing.
Actually, it looks like that's a grayscale monitor. I have a 1-bit one for the original Mac Plus, so it's probably mine's even probably older. The radius version I have is probably even older than that, because it doesn't rotate. I don't think that one rotates either, but I remember that one from Radius that would rotate. You could turn it either direction.
No, this doesn't go portrait or landscape. This is just a portrait monitor.
Yeah, it was because you could fit a full 8.5 by 11 sheet of paper. So in the desktop publishing days, right? You could have that. You could have your full layout for one page on that monitor. They were brilliant.
Now, Don, I recall you've got a portrait monitor, haven't you?
I used to have a Dell. You could just swivel, but I think most of the Dells you can swivel now. So that was good. I have not used portrait monitor for a while, but they are really good.
No.
You know how you simulate portrait mode? You drink about 40 of these, and then you just fall on the floor. And you go, oh, it looks great like that.
Turn over sideways. I can't be bothered with the rest of the stories, aren't they? This podcast and all this is brought to you by UK2. Please support them, because they've renewed our servers. We've renewed the domains with them. We're all good to go for another year. So thanks to them for looking after us. It really is much, much appreciated. If you'd like to support them, then please go to britishtechnetwork.com/sponsors and click on them. And if you just want to sign into your UK2 account for the renewals and that kind of stuff, then if you use britishtechnetwork@gmail.com/UK2, you will get an absolute crap ton off your basket, and we'll get the kudos for you returning as an existing customer as well as. It's all about the brand loyalty. So please support them because they support us. And also Hoya, I'm up in Hoya in a couple of weeks' time, and I'm going to be fitted for my Inikus, and they're going to look absolutely awesome. And they reckon that my nose issue, they've solved it in the software. So I feel kind of proud that my screwed up nose has led to innovation on the part of Hoya. My scans have probably been sent far and wide. They're probably up in a Japanese factory with darts in them. Because I've been such a pain in the ass. There's again, that's me. Raw chicken in restaurants. Right. Time for the cool thing. Can you start us off, please, Doc?
Okay, I got two. One really fast one. If you have Netflix, please watch Ugly Delicious. It's literally one of the coolest things that just come out. It's about the famous chef here that goes around and looks at food from a wholly different, like, cultural and impactful standpoint. It's just really entertaining, and you actually learn some stuff about various types of food. But my actual pick that I want you to see is called Sunlit. And I found out about this project because this is a project that Jean McDonald, a.k.a. Mac Jean, is working on. She's the community manager for this company. Gene, formerly of your Smile software, your text expander, PDF pen, and the like. What this thing does, and it's going to come in handy for me, is about to go on a trip to go to Killyland. But it allows you to sort of take photos from your library or directly from Flickr, Dropbox, whatever, and you sort of build these little micro blogging style stories with your photos. And it will even organize them by the day that you took them. You can pop a little, a little text to give you context as to where you were. And it's basically generating a micro blog out of your photos. And it seems cool. I mean, I have day one and I use day one for something like this, but this is a little bit less. When day one, I feel bad when I don't sit down and write a nice little journal post about each day of my trip, where this one seems like it's a little bit faster to just get your photos sort of well organized. And maybe this will come in handy when I come back and I get ready to start my edit, you know, to sort of build the actual post-trip video or post-trip story or slideshow. I will have already had, you know, sort of a storyboard, so to speak. So I'm going to use it from that perspective, or at least attempt to this trip. But from just dicking around a neighborhood, it's pretty fun.
Excellent, mate.
And oh yeah, it's super hella expensive. Free.
It's free. Superb. We like free. So good pick.
I saved you guys some money this week.
Then excellent. Good stuff. Adam, what have you got for us, mate?
Hey, I got something that I found because I was doing a presentation for my user group, and we were going to cover Siri and HomeKit and the HomePod, and I was looking for some lighting products, and I ran across this, and they sell it in Apple stores and at your big box stores and stuff like that, and online. It's called Lifx. I don't know how you pronounce it. LIFX. Right. Lights, and they're not cheap. They're a little more on the expensive side, but a nice thing about them is they support not only HomeKit but also Google Assistant, Amazon, and works with Nest. So they basically do whatever platform you want to work with, they're going to work. And the reason is that they don't have a central hub. It's built into the device, which I think is also why it's a little bit more expensive. So I think they're more on the pricey side because they support everything. But I have to say, it worked brilliantly, especially with HomeKit. And it did illustrate for me one of the advantages of HomeKit, because I wanted to set it up with that. And I was also demonstrating the Amazon. And so the process of setting this up on HomeKit was take it out of the box, plug it in, open the Home app and point at the little code. And within a couple seconds, it was on my network and I was controlling it with the Home app. as opposed to the process with Amazon was download the app, open the app, add the bulb to the app, now add the bulb to that company's cloud, now go to the Alexa app and add the bulb to Alexa, and then I could control it. And actually, I missed the part about adding it to their own cloud, so I had to send a tech support to figure out how to try to connect it. But once it was connected, it worked brilliantly on Echo as well. So I can control it with either product, and it's just great. And they have them in all your different socket formats. So I know they support the UK ones as well. And you can get them out of stores. But I mean, the one bulb was, I think, $55, which is not cheap. I know you can get cheaper ones out there, but they claim they'll last for, you know, 22 years. So I have a feeling HomeKit will be probably dead or changed long before the bulb runs out.
$55, or in UK money, £79.99.
What? Ooh. Jesus Christ.
And Adam, like, this thing is a house product. So the Life X, what the heck did you get Life X from?
Yeah, I don't know. It worked. It worked as advertised. I didn't have to mess with anything, and I appreciate that. And it works on all the platforms.
It's an amalgamation of lighting.
You're doinking around with hubs, and you got to get different hubs for different lights.
I love the fact that Doc is giving a lesson in pronunciation. Jesus Christ.
What does common damn sense? It's lighting effects or life effects. If you say lighting and effects together, you come out with life effects. It's lift effects. Wouldn't make any damn sense whatsoever, except to Adam.
Yeah, it's Jesus, Adam, educationalize yourself.
No, it's fine. I didn't know how to pronounce it. Life effects or L-I-F-X. I don't know.
Some of you will get that joke. Never mind. No, so which version is it, by the way?
This is just the regular one. I mean, they have minis.
There's a code number, dude. Is it the AF60 or the BR30 or is it the AF60 with night vision?
Well, this is an A19 E26, but that's the socket type. You guys have like an E27 over there or something.
Model number of the light. The bulb has got model numbers.
Yeah, the model number is based off the thing that goes into the socket. So what Adam is telling you this time is correct. The A19 is what we call a socket here. If you get the other socket, that's a DU10. That's the two dipoles.
I know what GU10 is, but I didn't know about
it. Numbers is the fitting.
This is the LIFX A19, so it does multicolors and the different, cool, the warm white colors.
Before you start going at me, hang on a second. Because I'm on the web page and it's automatically sent me to UK. It's redirected it by automatic. And of course,
I'll put it in the chat. This is the one I have.
I don't have your Bainer, your fitting, because it's not a UK fitting.
Yours is going to be the A19 E27.
There isn't an A19 on the list.
Yours is A60.
A60 is us. Thank you for that. Mm-hmm. Jesus Christ. Yeah. Talking to me like that. Stupid. Right, the A60, A60 is £60, you bastards.
I told you. You can get it cheaper. You can get it cheaper on Amazon.
Yeah, free shipping.
I got mine at Best Buy and it was $5 cheaper, but
you Brexit bastards.
Anyway, they just work. There's cheaper ones out there, and you don't have to buy these. I just like the convenience.
I love them. They're brilliant. And I'll spend money on a decent bulb. I'm not worried about that. It's the bloody exchange rate that's pissing me off.
The color out of LifeX is way better than what comes out of the Philips. Unfortunately, my Philips ecosystem is so large. I wanted to switch to LifeX when they first came out last year because their color is amazing. These are really, really good bulbs.
Yeah, but that's not influenced by the exchange rate.
We had a ton of fun. It's really good at recognizing, and I don't know if this is Siri or if this is LifeX, we were just throwing any kind of color at it, you know, like change it to mint, change it to tangerine, change it to, and we were having just fun making the HomePod do different colors, and almost every word color-wise we could throw at it, mauve. It even did mauve. So that was kind of fun.
For those of you listening in English, that's mauve. I'm just sitting thinking.
Yours doesn't. It's cool, but no, I do it on being.
Yeah, because I don't. Because I educationalized myself.
Educationalized
it. I'm just sitting thinking. Doc goes, but the LIFX is way better color, and I'm sitting thinking. Do I get a bit more saturation because I've paid an extra fiver over here then compared to Adam?
Sure.
Because he's paid a cheaper amount. That's what it is. It's not, oh, Doc, give over. You're not going to win. Liverpool are going to beat
Man United. Get out of it.
Liverpool are going to beat me. Rob, not a problem, mate. Truth's always good. No problem at all there. Don, have you got a cool thing for us? Or should I come back?
It looks like I've frozen, but can you still hear me okay?
My Manchester side, Liverpoolian.
All right. This is something I've not played with it for very long, but it's I needed to do a quick Facebook Live session yesterday, so I just quickly had a quick scout on what was available, and I found this application by Ecamm. Now, Ecamm do some great apps. I've used Ecamm apps in the past, but they do a thing called Ecamm Live, which is like a production platform for the Mac for live video and for showing your desktop and for attaching cameras. The thing that attracted me to it was only $40. So I thought, well, that's pretty cheap and it's not a subscription or anything. So paid me $40, downloaded it, and I was very impressed, actually. It worked really well. And initially I thought, it's just Facebook, but it transpires now that you can actually use it with other streaming services as well. As long as you've got an RTMP stream, you can just plug that into the application. It's got overlays. It's got picture-in-picture. As I say, it supports all different formats of cameras, supports your webcam connected to your Mac, and it's really good. I was very impressed. And for $40, you know, can't go wrong. So that's Ecamm Live. Worth checking out if you want to do some live video.
So you can lay people four up. But it's like a Google Hangout type thing then.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But what I wanted it for was to actually share my Mac desktop as well. And that worked really well. And you can sort of just grab an application, or you can grab the entire desktop. You can zoom into your desktop. You can put graphic overlays on top of it, lower thirds and stuff. Pretty good. You can schedule it as well. So if you want to go live at a certain time, you can put in the time, and it creates the session. And then when the time comes around, it goes to live mode.
Excellent.
Pretty good, I thought. Cool. Yeah.
Specifically for Facebook. Sorry, Don, I missed that.
It's designed for Facebook, although it will now work with YouTube and Periscope. I think anything uses one of these RTMP streams, you can actually give it the stream and it will take control of the stream. Yeah, I only tried it out yesterday for the first time. I've not really put it through its paces, but looks pretty interesting.
Don, I got something for you you're going to love. Mm-hmm. I'm going to actually get a chance to teach Don something. When you have an opportunity to go look at OBS, it's Open Broadcast System.
Okay.
It's insane. It's absolutely insane. And the best part about OBS is free. It's ridiculous. Like that's what I've been using. And it's basically, they took Oliver, Ewan's friend, from Boinz, they took when they switched over to their new thing, they basically open sourced their old product. And it's incredible. The ecosystem is massive. And what's really cool about this one, I send a stream to Facebook Live, Twitch, and YouTube all at the same time. Because it's open source, there's a lot of scripting and stuff. So people are watching you live and they're asking questions. People can do donations. You have a donation tally. It's incredible. It's absolutely incredible. No, from having sold switches to like churches where the switches are like 150 grand, this outclumps a old Sony V900, like $150,000 switcher. And it's amazing. And I use Cam Links to connect all my HDMI inputs. That's what these are. My Elgato. And then the other thing which would come in handy for someone like yourself, come here, boy, is this is known as a Stream Deck. So when this guy is connected to your setup, and this would probably work with Ecamm too, because you can make it work with just about anything. Let me plug it in real quick. When it comes in, I get little OLED keys to switch mm-hmm. between my scenes and my title mm-hmm. overlays. And there's actually one that says BTN right there. So that, come on, focus, girl. When I come in and I set up, if I press that, it will set me up for the way UN likes my signal. But I am Twitch as a punk right now, so
it'll set me up for the awkward bastard in the UK.
Huh?
I'll press this button. It'll set me up for the awkward bastard in the UK.
Yeah. Oh, but
the question is, what does it
do? I'm telling you, just go do some YouTube research. You know, sit back with a cuppa and enjoy this. You will find some. It is quite amazing, and it's heavily used by all the YouTubers and Twitchers out there. So the ecosystem is so massive. And because it's open source, people are forever writing kit for it to make it even sweeter. But it is quite incredible.
Superb.
There you go.
James, what have you got for us, mate?
Yes, thank you. I've got the new Civilization augmented reality app from the BBC. It's brand new and it's bloody brilliant. It's free and it's available on the iPhone and iPad. So it's BBC Civilization's AR. And basically what you do is you get your iPhone 8 and you show it your floor and it goes, oh, okay, your floor's... It gives you this globe to start off with. And as you then put your finger on the globe, you can actually spin it. It'll start to light up areas where there's artifacts. What's really cool is you can go up to the artifacts and actually have a good look at them, and they can actually X-ray them. And there's some brilliant audio prompts which go with some of the artifacts. There's a nice sort of woman who speaks you through the actual artifact. And what's really funny is you can take a photograph, and what I did is a bit of a joke, because it is that good, but I had the Tutankhamun kind of esophagus thing on my front room floor. I took a photograph.
Sarcophagus, mate. Esophagus. You had Tutankhamun's throat. Yeah, go on.
Yeah. I'm that excited about it. I'm like losing my words. I took a photograph. I put it onto Facebook and put, oh, I found this in the garden. I think it's worth much money. And the amount of people who actually emailed me saying, oh, have you tried to open it yet? What's it like? How big is it? It looks quite big on your front room floor. I kid you not, the lighting effects that it actually projects is absolutely brilliant. Now you can see why I'm getting excited about it. Okay. So yeah, also great for kids, history, you know, it's really, really good. Well worth the download. It's free. So that's Civilizations AR by the BBC.
It does look good. I've immediately downloaded it because the kids are going to have an absolute way of time with that. Yeah.
Have some fun with your mates. Yeah, I found it in the garden. Do you think it's worth any money?
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
Tutankhamun's esophagus.
Well, I think we've got a title anyway. Well, the dog's voting yes. That'll do.
Oh, hello, wait a minute.
I've forgotten your name. Jeez. Patrice, there we go.
Patrice.
So my cool thing today is a hardware thingy that I literally got yesterday, and I'm just going to try to share my screen. I don't know whether that's going to work.
It's
unfortunately,
working.
It's going through AirPlay because, well, QuickTime decided to not work. It is the Logitech Circle 2 security camera. It's HomeKit and Google Home and I don't know what else compatible. It's 1080p. It is really easy to set up. It's small. You can use it outdoors. So indoors, outdoors, whatever you want to do. There is a battery version if you don't want to plug it in, but the plugged-in version somehow is better. And as you can see right now, I'm watching my dog. So that's the reason why I got it, so that I can watch my dog while I'm at work. At least
your dog's not in America with you, though, is it?
She is. She's here.
How long are you out there for?
Well, a couple of weeks and then probably forever.
What?
Yeah, I'm moving here. So, I mean, I'm still working on that part, the move and everything. But
heard it here first.
Yeah, you did. You heard it first.
Now I'm definitely coming out to see you.
What's the address of your apartment in Koblenz then?
not over the air. Not over the air.
It'll be available very soon. So I still have that. I have to go back and get my visa and all that. It's not all done yet.
Are you sure your dog's all right?
Yeah, it's all right. It's like, is that socks or underwear on the table? I mean, I know you live in the bachelor. Cool.
That's her typical sleeping position.
Jesus, that place somewhere. Is a tip, dude.
So yeah, this camera is awesome and it's easy to set up. As you can see on the right-hand side of the app, it basically captures whenever there's movement. That's usually my dog. There is a cloud version if you want to, where it stores more, but the base version is free, and I think it records up to 24 hours.
Could you write it to a drive instead of broadcasting it as well? So because like they tend to use, so my cam here, it only uses data when I view it, so I'm not ruining my bandwidth limit.
Yeah.
But Rob's given me a camera that I can get one of the drives to record the footage and overwrite it every month.
I don't know, to be honest. There might be a way to do that, but for me, I mean, I didn't even look into that.
That's an NVR. And Patrice, is that first window a fireplace or a TV?
On the left, that's probably a TV. What do you see? Oh, that on the wall there,
yeah.
That's a mirror.
Yeah.
A mirror. That's why it's got an incredibly mirrored effect, that TV.
Oh, yes.
Oh yeah, I see the Jackie now. Hello.
What's the brand again?
I was busy studying his esophagus.
Logitech Circle 2. It comes recommended by the Wirecutter. I looked at a couple of other options. It's $180.
So. The old Patrice is leaving Germany. Is that just because they haven't given you Apple Pay yet?
Yeah, that's why. It is. You're right. I said, screw it. I'm moving to some other country.
Did you start hashtag Patrexit?
Patrexit. Do that.
Yeah, it's because we won't let him in the UK afterwards. So you're not getting out of coming to the bash either, mate. You still got to come to the bash. What do you mean, probably not?
Yeah, I'll be here in Phoenix, and I mean, flying over to Europe is crazy expensive. So.
Bash is the 7th of July.
I might come
over
some other time. I mean, I'll be in Germany every couple of months, so I might come over for a couple of days.
All right. Well, you're always welcome to come, mate. You know,
frequent flyer miles, brother.
Oh yes.
Excellent. My cool thing is a pal of mine has got a goddaughter, and she's 19, and unfortunately she's got she's been diagnosed with stage 4. I can't remember the name of it, stage 4 glioblastoma brain tumor, which means that she ain't going to make 20. So I just want to give a shout, please, if anyone could dive in and help her. They want to raise some money together so that she can go out and she can get a lot more memories before her time comes, and have some time with her family, and have some trips, cross a few things off the bucket list, that kind of stuff. They also want to try and see if they can seek for any treatments anywhere across the world that might be able to help her and extend her life some more. So please, 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 if you could, please go to justgiving.com/crowdfunding/Kate, K-A-T-E - Cotterill, C-O-T-T-E-R-I-L-L. And if you can go there and either give a donation if you'd like to, or even if you can't give a donation, if you could just send the link out as far and wide as you possibly can. If you look today on the 9th of March, you'll see that I put a tweet out this morning with the link to the page on it. So you can either grab it from that, or you can send that link on from Twitter if you could. So please, let's let the BTN community, you know, spread that message far and far and wide, because I was a bit shocked by that this morning. At 19 years old, it's no age, so. Please, please, please give something, or at least support by passing it on. Really great.
Is that her photo?
That's her photo. Yeah, that's her.
Man, I seriously, like, she's such a beautiful kid. I thought that was a stock photo.
No, that's her.
Man, damn, Ewan.
It's heartbreaking, mate. It really is. At 19 years old, and it's stage 4, so it's not good news. Won't be any copies available, so please pass the link on. If nothing else, just pass the link on. I'm not asking for your money. I'm asking you for you, the BTN Army's true asset, which is community. Please pass it on. Right, where can we get a hold of you, Doc?
You can find me all over the internet at DOCROCK on the solid.fm podcast, and hanging out in Portland somewhere, freezing off my...
Are you coming on the show while you're in Portland?
I'm going to try it. I mean, they got internet, you know. I might be a little hipster wearing a flannel, have a bird on my shoulder, but yeah.
No, but usually when you're not in Hawaii, you're just eating all the time. So we don't get enough time. Well,
trust me, it's restaurant month in Portland, so I'm going in.
Good man.
But yeah, I'm pretty sure I can find a Canadian. I just got to work out. I mean, I believe. What time is it for you, Adam, when you start?
Only 8 a.m.
8?
Yeah, it's only a short drive as well. You should go and visit Adam.
Oh yeah, that'd be much better than waking
wait,
up.
Wait, what'd you ask me?
What time is it when we start to you?
Okay, good. Yeah. 8 a.m.
8 a.m. Yeah.
Okay.
Dude, you get a line in?
I thought for a second he was asking me how far it was from here to Portland. That's crazy. That's like
I have 20 Google hours. Maps for that, and I would just catch the train.
It's only a short drive.
So there you go. You can drive down and see Adam.
Yeah, just 20 hours.
Yeah, nothing. Yeah. Adam's going round to Patrice for coffee, so.
Yeah.
Adam, where can we get a hold of you, buddy?
You can find me at mattcast.com or mattcast on your favorite podcast app, and also occasionally on the iOS show at theiosshow.com, and I guess anywhere on social media, it's just mattcast.
Excellent, mate. Thanks very much. Don, where are you, sir?
I'm over as usual at screencastonline.com, where you'll get my weekly video tutorials and the merry band of other presenters as well. So it's not just me these days. There's a few of us now creating video content. So screencastonline.com.
An empire, no?
Well,
yeah.
Wouldn't go that far.
If you're a Mac user and you don't subscribe to Don's tutorials, you're a fool. Absolute fool. Well worth having. Thanks for coming on, mate. I'm sorry we haven't asked you on more recently, but we will have you back soon enough, don't worry. Jim, where are you? You're down le bar, dans le pub, avec son le wife, drinking le beer, et le wine, et le vin.
Oh, that's brilliant. You're born natural, mate. I'm not sure I'll get you through your beer, though.
I've got better fridge than you. We proved that once.
I'll say nothing. Yeah, just Twitter at the moment, @JamesRickards. You'll find me there. YouTube doesn't want to monetize me anymore, so that's screwed. Other projects coming, looking forward to sharing. But otherwise, just @JamesRickards on Twitter.
So now you're in the process of creating this. When does it all go live?
Well, I'm busy recording, so I'm saying nothing until I've actually got a product that I can sell.
Right,
so,
okay.
But it's going to be great, I promise.
Okay, so when you do, you'll be sponsoring us, won't you? To flog your
absolutely
product.
Jesus Christ, Al.
Excellent, mate. Last but by no means least, it's Patrice. Where are you, buddy?
Well, every now and then here on the Mac Show, and everything I do on thepatrice.com.
Excellent, mate. Superb. My name's Ewan Rankin. You can get me at Ewan Rankin on Twitter, and you can get us at British Tech on Twitter as well. As if you want to come in the Slack room, send me an email to britishtechnetwork@gmail.com and I'll let you in. But we do require a bit of involvement and a bit of engagement, so please don't just sit there and watch everyone else. And the Fantasy Photo League is going absolutely brilliantly at the moment. We're just into February, which is liquid. That's just about to close off. And March has started, which is white. Not March as in the month, March as in the topic. No, it's the white anyway. And then on the 1st of April, we'll have April, and you can join in with that as well. And we're 4 months into the year by then. I can't believe how fast it's going. Unreal. We'll see you again next week. We should have everything straight. We should be all dry, and there'll definitely be shows on both days. I think we're all on Thursday, though, next week, isn't it? Because it's the 15th. We're all on Thursday, so live shows will be on Thursday, not on Friday. So we'll see you then. Have a great weekend. Listen.